Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome to The Drift. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, you pronounce that so well.
Bondarenka, Bondarenka, Bondarenka.
Happy New Year.
I don't spell it very well when I'm trying to email you all the time. It doesn't come out real well, but we're working on it. Well, let's... my little computer is making noise. Look at that. Better turn that off.
It's a pleasant sound.
Well, what we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com. It's the news...
You need to know.
And you can find that at thedailydrift.com. And I put news from around the world, across the nation, and locally that you won't find on the mainstream media. So make sure that you go there, educate yourself, and fight the establishment.
Yes, fight.
Fight it.
You're a news aggregator.
I am a news aggregator to the max. Yes, I try anyways. Well, let's take care of a little business. If you're looking for something to do tonight or tomorrow, Burroughs Roadhouse in West Brighton. It's 5311 Brighton Road. That's west of downtown Brighton there. And you can call them 810-227-6000. Probably always a good idea to see if you're going to make reservations. The food is spectacular. The drinks are great. Eric is normally the bartender. I think Fridays and Saturdays is a great bartender. And it's just a really great atmosphere. It really, really is. It's awesome. So make sure you head out there and check it out. And there's coupons in the Current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, online.com. If you don't get the Current print edition, you can get the online edition. It's always free, folks.
Yeah,
you can do better than that, right?
It's Avail free. Yourself.
Yes, get out there. But they do comedy shows Fridays and Saturdays at 9 p.m. They do Sundays. They do breakfast stuff. So make sure you get out there, 810-227-6000. Tell them that Jim and Russ, that you heard it on The Daily Drift, or on The Drift radio show.
And you saw their advertisement in...
The Current. Yes. Yeah. So it's a great place.
Please.
Well, you know, the big news locally, anyway, this week, our kind of our front runner for Michigan Senate dropped out this week, and it was Bob Young Jr.,
yes.
Who was our former Chief Justice for the Michigan Supreme Court, and he just dropped out.
Yeah.
And we can talk about some of the reasons why later, but we have two guys that are left in, Bob Carr and John James. And Bob, who's never shy, has called into the show. So we're going to talk to Bob for a few minutes here and let him take advantage of this opening. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob.
Well, welcome to you, too.
Yeah, and, well, you're not quitting, right?
How's it feel to be the new front runner?
You know, if you do it right, you design a campaign from the day of the primary or the day of the election, and you work it back. And it's been very hard to sit and wait. But first we had Upton, who was waffling around, and that was just keeping people sitting on their hands, because the old school says you have to have an elected person if you're going to win an election. And that's no longer the case. And then, of course, Bob Young and I, we were at the same meeting at a Christmas party up in Ludington, Mason County up there. And, you know, 3 hours up, be there for a couple hours with 40 or 50 people, 3 hours back. It is a tough grind. And so, you know, there's a lot of things about running for the United States Senate. And, for me, the message is stronger than anything else, which keeps us going. But I think we've laid out a really smart strategy, and I think so far we've been right on the ball.
Well, I'll give you this, Bob. Of all the Republicans that I've seen, you know, in the state race, especially for the Senate, Pete Hoekstra did nothing. He was a waste of time. Like Pete, he had the right ideas, but marketing-wise, like most Republicans and like the idiot Michigan Republican Party, have no idea how to market. You, on the other hand, are one of those few guys is out there busting chops, and I'm going to give you credit for that, man, because you are making the effort. You really are. And my question for you is this, because this is how I'm going to base my vote in the primary and in the general election. Are you going to follow the people's agenda and support the Trump decisions? not all of them, because I'm not sure I'm on board with all the Trump decisions either, but are you going to put America first?
Well, absolutely. And let me say this. When I had my radio show called Reality Politics, and it was great fun, and my host's son died suddenly, but I had a saying, if you want perfection, get to heaven. So there is not any bill that's passed that I think is probably perfect. The trick is to know that and to realize that sometimes we're going to have to come back and revisit it. So even our president is probably not perfect. Well, so what, folks? You know, and one of the things that I enjoy is the emails I get and the texts and so on, asking me questions from people who have a passion about this subject or that. And they are real educators, because most of the time when they ask me their question, they're also writing their answer, you know? And so my wife and I thought that Trump was going to win the first day of the election when he went to run, because he had street smarts. And I think that's very, very important to know what people are thinking. If you know what people are thinking, then, you know, you're way ahead of the game. And he just seemed to have that knack, and hopefully I do too. And so far as fundraising and so on, I've been right on.
Bob, you say if you want perfection, you have to go to heaven. I hear you've been campaigning in hell.
By the way, I was told the other day I need to go to hell and stand in front of the sign.
Oh, I thought I heard you were there. Because it's frozen over, you know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Bay City, Flint.
No, hell is frozen over, and I saw on Facebook. Well, there's someplace else that I heard you were at, and I'm kind of. I want to ask you about this. Did you go to the Lansing reception? I'm sorry, the reception for Andy Schor, who recently won the election as Democratic mayor of Lansing.
I did not.
Okay,
but I had a live video coming over the whole time from Daniel Arnold, I think is his name. And so I did watch it.
Okay, that's why you were mentioned in that post. Okay, I was concerned. I didn't know.
I wouldn't be concerned, just because, you know what? Sometimes you got to reach across the aisle, right? Not that I like doing that. But let me say, anybody's better than any replacement for Virge Bonero is a step in the right direction. No matter, you can only go up.
Do you remember his campaign? He was the Mad Mayor.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Now, who came up with that?
I don't know. It's one of those crazy lib Democratic things, but it seems to work for them in so many cases. I mean, look at Debbie Stabenow. She lies through her teeth and keeps getting reelected, in part due to our Republican farmers who keep thinking that she's doing something for them. And so I'm going to tell the Republican farmers across this county of Washtenaw and across the state, stop supporting Debbie Stabenow.
Well, let me tell you this, because we'll talk about that. I went to the Farm Bureau convention, I don't know, two or three months ago, and I put posts on my Facebook and the photos and so on. But I've been farming since I was a little boy. One foster home I was in, Dad Carr was the Potato King of Michigan. There is a Potato King crowned every year. I went up to Posen, and there was a Potato King who was a woman in the parade. And I went to boarding high school, and I worked on the farms, and I have an airstrip on the cornfield that my wife and I and another couple own, that I farmed when I was 14. And then all through college, I worked on farms. I worked on beef cattle, chicken, a dairy. I became the ice cream expert in the creamery, could have gotten my license and those kind of things. So when I get to the United States Senate, you're going to put somebody back on the Agriculture Committee that's been doing it all his life. And I have a picture out of the yearbook at the high school when I was about 85 pounds sitting on a tractor cutting green chop. That's out there on Facebook. And so it's going to be hard to argue that I don't know anything about agriculture.
Right, right. Well, that's great. Good. Well, we've got Joe from Wyandotte calling in, Bob, and he's got a question for you. Derek, can you bring in Joe? I don't want to fiddle with it and hang up on somebody.
That's my job to hang up on Joe.
Thanks. Yeah, I wanted to ask Bob about how the progress for the debates is coming, because there needs to be a debate, even if Bob Carr has to debate cardboard cutouts of Sandy Pinsler and John James, because if they're not capable of having a friendly GOP debate, they are clearly not ready to face Debbie Stabenow face-to-face. How's the progress on that coming, Bob?
Well, would you please get on the tallest building and shout it out, because you are absolutely right. The voters deserve to know about the candidates. And with a debate, as you know, you have an audience, you have television, you have newspaper, you have radio. Maybe you guys will help moderate. And we have asked to do one every month. James absolutely, and his assistant, who I've seen in person, refused to talk about it and have never returned a phone call. Pensler told me flat out, look, I'm financing my own campaign. I'm spending my own money. I don't need to debate. I'm going to win without it because I have enough money. And that was hard for me to stand there and just be civil. And so we did get a request for a debate in March. We have radio stations in Detroit and venues set up. We have Grand Valley State ready to go and that kind of thing. It's an interesting discussion we had at Republican state meetings, and that was with a couple of these governor candidates talking about, well, why don't you, Bob Carr, as a senator, and we, as I guess I came up with the idea, and asked them, and they seemed open to it, have a debate that has the governor candidates and the and whatever Senate candidates if we can't get the Senate candidates. Now, back in 96 when I won my primary against $1 million in the first congressional district, my candidate, the other guy, wouldn't debate either. And I got, this was great, in Alpena, the TV station to go ahead and do a debate just with me. And it got more news than just about anything, and I think that's when you lost the election. So I would tell these people to be careful what you do, because Bob Carr and Tom Hadfield, who's just a brilliant campaign director that works for me, and maybe you know Tom, you need to learn about Tom Hadfield, folks. We're going to come up with something, because I think the public do not like people who do not want to just stand out there and take whatever you ask them.
Yeah, well, you know, and Ed and I had just kind of whispered to me the same thoughts were simpatico.
Simpatico.
Listen, you can come in, and whether Sandy Pensler or whether John James show up, we'll do a debate right here. Ed, yeah. And I'll
you say,
we'll put our questions together for you.
You say, and if Joe should go on a tallest building. Hey, he just said it on the tallest antenna in Southeast Michigan for you know, conservative radio.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and I'll be honest. So John James, Sandy Pensler, because, you know, I was a Bob Young guy. That was where my vote was. And now my vote is up for grabs. So I can't be any more fair to you and Sandy Pensler and John James. The three of you guys come in here, and, you know, the only reason I'm leaning toward you at this point, Bob, is because you're the only one with guts to get on the radio and get out and talk to people. I have not seen John James. I have seen zero on my Facebook, zero on my Twitter from either of those guys.
You know, Bob, when I first contacted you to come on, you know, on the air here for an interview, you've been on twice. I have tried to get a hold of Sandy Pensler. I've tried to get a hold of John James. There's just no response. So, hey, we're pro you at the moment because you're pro us.
here's how basic common sense this is. Coming on a radio show, especially on this station in the populated Southeast Michigan, especially before the primary, because, yes, most of our listeners are conservative, this is free advertising, you retards. Get on the radio with us and do your job, because you're not going to beat Debbie Stabenow if you're sitting in a corner crying the blues into a blanket, because get your butt out there. And this is what's wrong with the Michigan Republican Party. They have no guts and no common sense when it comes to putting out candidates and helping them. It makes me sick to my stomach that the people in charge of Michigan Republican Party are so cowardly and ignorant that they can't get their butts out here and do something for the candidates.
Yeah.
All right, pick a date. Pick the date if you want to pick it right now, and the time, and start advertising, because we'll be there. I know Tom's listening. So why don't you guys be the first one? And
we'll do that. We'll do that, Bob. You have my promise.
About why they don't want to do radio is because they're so scripted.
Yeah.
And when I decided to run, I had three criteria, and the one first one was these other candidates are going to be very, very scripted.
Yeah.
And so they are setting themselves up for me to corner them in every different direction.
Yeah.
And they're proving to be exactly that. The second thing, the off side of that is, you know, they got on Fox News, right? And then they get patted on the back and they think they've already won the election. Well, I mean, a few people see Fox News, a few more people than a lot of other places. But listen, I love going on your show. I'd go on your show every day if you would have me.
Yeah.
But that is, so you just pick up the phone.
Okay. Well, here, Bob, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're
advertising. Let's invite in an audience and let's do it, and I'll be down.
All right. Well, we'll get that scheduled. Joe, did you have one more thing before we let you go?
Yeah, Bob was starting to tell the story about Hell, Michigan, because I gave him the suggestion he needs to go to the Hell, Michigan city limit sign and get a picture next to it of him and say that Bob Carr is the only candidate willing to go to hell and back for Michigan residents.
And when you do that, Bob, I don't know if you saw some of the quotes around that post, but there are some GOP organizations that are wondering why you're not visiting them.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, we've been motorhoming since 2005, my wife and I. We campaigned together, and we will be everywhere. We will be everywhere. But, you know, I haven't been on Facebook for a week. I have been so busy preparing for the real race, which starts after January 1st, yeah, that I just don't know where all the time's going to be. Yep. And so you're going to see us everywhere, because we drive a motorhome, and we put 6,300 miles just in the spring looking at secondary roads all the way out to Washington back. And we'll be in every little town and go to every little hardware store and so on. And any meeting that I'm invited to, we'll be there. We'll squeeze it in. I did it in 96. I heard about the other candidates being so tired because they did four parades on July 4th. I did seven.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this, Bob. As a Republican candidate, if you get through the primary and you are the Republican candidate, the place you need to concentrate on is take the advice from Joe, who says we need 30% of Wayne County. We need that. And Joe is spot on when he says that. If you're going to get the rest of Michigan, you need to get 30% of Wayne County. So make sure you tackle the right people, the churches, etc., down in Wayne County, and spend some time down there and get that word out. Maybe even cozy up to Duggan if you have to. You won't get his vote, but at least you can get a photo op with him.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
My wife and I and another couple started in Benton Harbor, which was called the worst town in America, a soup kitchen. That was 37 years ago. We got a building for a dollar. We had no money. We started with no money. It's been in business for 37 years. Every day, they missed three meals. The food was to get them in the door. But as Cage, who's been there all 37 years, told me on Tuesday, and by the way, the church that was serving it, there's churches that serve it, one of the first four churches was there that founded it, told me, we're family here. And what happened is this soup kitchen is done with no donations. We limit $500 to anybody, including Whirlpool, you know, that's Upton's company, a year. And we teach them responsibility and care for each other, the Republican principle. And if you don't have the money, you pick up the broom. And they've enforced that, and it's been 37 years. So when we go to all these communities that are inner city and so on, and we go to these churches, we can talk about where other candidates can't, how it works to immerse both community and church into service, and how you can turn the town around. Where we put the soup kitchen was Territorial and Water Street.
Hey, Bob.
Epicenter of crime, and now there are art galleries, restaurants, and all that. So
yeah,
anyway, 37 years, we were proud of it, and I think it's a Republican issue.
Yeah. Well, no, we've
okay,
got calls.
So, Joe, thanks for the call. And
One last thing, if I already mentioned about Wayne County, the 30%. The John James campaign's not only ignoring your guys' requests for interviews, he's ignoring the Wayne County Party leadership requests for events.
Yeah.
The one event he had scheduled here, he canceled.
Yeah,
so
he's
in the county.
Joe, that's a recipe.
You've got to have 30%.
Joe, that's a recipe for failure on his part, and shame on him if that's the way he's going to be. All right, thanks for the call, Joe. We got another question for Bob.
Derek, guys, love ya. You.
See ya. Love you too, brother. You want to bring in Gary from Hazel Park there, Derek?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Gary, how are you? You got a question for Bob?
I sure do. Hey, Bob. Do you have a real plan, and do you understand the threat of Sharia law in our state?
Well, I can't say that I have a real plan as much as I'd like people to start sending me information. That's probably something you're very involved in. So it's win at electbobcarr.com, and write me a note, would you?
Gary, did you hear that, Gary?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so, you know, at least you're getting the answer, and that's what I love about Bob. He's completely honest, and he's willing to listen, which is important. So, yeah, Gary, send that through, because you and I have had that discussion. We've talked about it here on this show many, many times, and I agree with you. Sharia is an issue, and we should make sure that the Michigan legislature put something into place saying there won't be any Sharia law in this state.
Or any other, for that matter.
Or any other. But for Michigan, that's all we can do, right? So, Bob, that's something to think about when you get to D.C. anyways. Well, anything else, Gary?
Not in the parking lot.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary. We'll talk to you later. All right. So, Bob, I'm going to have to let you go, too, because we're wrapping up this half hour, and we got a couple of things we got to cover. We will get on with you, and we're going to try and push a debate, even if it's just you being questioned by Ed and I.
Hey, can we announce we're going to have a debate with you?
Absolutely, you can. We'll do a debate. We'll host it right here at the station if that's what we have to do.
Hey, and we're radio.
Right.
Tom,
Bob, will be right on it, I'm sure. And then we'll post people when we know in the time and place. And you'll be the first. That's pretty exciting. So we're going to do that. Remember, selectbobcar.com, or if you want to go to itsallaboutmichigan.com. I was saying the phrase, so I went and got the website. Go look at us. Follow our Facebook. I'll go on your show anytime, guys. And,
all right.
Mr. Young was a very nice man. So people who are supporting him, they were in the right place to do that.
Yeah.
But I do ask for people to support us.
Okay.
Now that he's gone.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. We'll have you on again. Appreciate it.
This is an energy show. Thank you, man.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Take
both
care.
Of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, so I got a little hot. I'm sorry.
It's all right. You know,
high energy, you call it.
It's a radio debate. We don't have to come up with the cardboard cutouts either. You know,
I'll put them up. I'll put a couple of pieces of paper. I'm going to do the stick figure for John James and Sandy Pensler, right?
Yeah.
I'll put it out there again. John James, Sandy Pensler, I'm going to reach out to you through Twitter as well. I've already reached out, I think, to John James. You have an open seat here. Please,
I've left messages with their personal assistants. Nothing.
Look. My vote is open at this point for the Republican primary. I'm kind of leaning toward Bob just because, you know what? He's making the effort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other Republican, and I don't see the Michigan Republican Party making the effort to win this election. None of them. And it's just highly disturbing. So, yeah, and I want to say this. So Bob Young, part of the reason he said he got out was lack of funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. I don't think he needed funds. Unless he's financially broke or something's going on, I can understand that. But he could have won without the big budget. He really
mm-hmm.
could have.
Yeah.
Because he's smart. He would have slaughtered her in a debate. And he could have won that. But he got out because of whatever reason. You know what I mean? I blame the Michigan Republican Party because they didn't say, don't worry about the money, which is what they should be saying.
Yeah.
They should be saying that to all three of these Republican candidates. Don't worry about the money. Just do the best you can, put your platform and get out there and do what like Bob Carr is doing.
Hey, the market is shooting through the roof. Are you telling me that there are Republican donors that couldn't kick in?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Fine. You've got to have some name recognition, and if you don't have it, you got to get out and work for it. And at least one of the three candidates,
and Bob's putting
Bob Carr,
his,
is
talking
making
about
the
self-finance.
Effort.
Pensler says he's self-financed. Well, look at what Bob Carr is doing. He's going around a motorhome. You know, he's promoting himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a quick call from Ken before the end of the show or the end of the hour here. Ken, welcome to the show. You wanted to talk about Islam.
Yeah, I think that it should be one question that we should know right up front from our candidates that want our vote. What's their view on Islam? Because we do not want someone like George Bush right after 9/11 coming out and say, well, Islam is a religion of peace.
Yeah,
we know that's not true.
Yeah, we definitely know that Islam is not a religion of peace. I don't care what, and people want to call me a hater for that. Knock yourselves out, because Islam is not a religion of peace, not in any way, shape, or form.
Hasn't been for over 1,400 years, and they are definitely not peaceful today. And so I want to know up front, you as a candidate, what's your view? And if you sound like George Bush, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ken, great point. I'm glad you did. We're hitting near the end of the hour here, so I'll let you go. Call us in again.
Take it easy.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
See you, Ken.
Yeah, so my blood pressure's up. Look at me. I'm red in the face.
That's normal, man.
Get my blood pressure pills.
That's why people listen to this show.
I am just mortified.
Passion.
That the Michigan Republican, and folks, I'm going to say this right now. Do not send any money to the Michigan Republican Party. Pick your candidates, educate yourself on the candidate, and give them money directly. Do not spend one dime on the Michigan Republican Party, because they don't deserve it. None of them deserve it. They're rotten, lazy, incompetent, and don't belong to be getting your money.
Quit hiding your feelings like that.
All right, we'll see you all on the other side of the break. We got Congressman Tim Walberg coming up.
People are always on the move. Driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump responds to author Michael Wolff, who writes in the just-released book Fire and Fury inside the Trump White House that he's not smart enough to be chief exec.
Well, he was never in the Oval Office. We didn't have an interview. I did a quick interview with him a long time ago having to do with an article. But I don't know this man.
The president's in Camp David, where he's spending a working weekend with GOP congressional leaders mapping out their 2018 to-do list.
A lot of the talk was about immigration and DACA, the Obama-era policy that protects those from deportation who were brought to the United States illegally as children. The president says that we want Republicans, but he also said Republicans want to get rid of chain migration, get rid of the lottery system, the visa lottery system, and add to additional border security.
Fox's Rich Edson, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Experience and quality. These are two important words when it comes to auto body repairs. The last thing you need is more stress. That's why City Body on East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's historic depot town offers the finest quality collision repair service available. And they guarantee their work in writing. City Body can accommodate any collision or glass replacement need. As Ypsilanti's oldest and most recognized repair shop, City Body wants each customer's visit to be a positive experience, and they work diligently towards that goal. Customer services include free loaner cars for qualifying customers, rental cars, hassle-free insurance claims, drive-in estimating with estimates given in 30 minutes, and even towing if your car is undrivable. City Body, 20 East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's Depot Town, and open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 734-482-4737 or visit citybody.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Baby, got them open all over town. Stick the biz, don't play around. Cover my crown, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day to play away. I can't get out of my mind. I think about the girl all the time.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Sorry, that's kind of weak, isn't it? Hey, how you doing, Gary? It's good to be back. After that commercial break.
Got to keep it going.
Yes.
Keep it up there. Let's take care of a little business. I have bought, I think, 4 or 5 cars now from Brighton Ford. And if you're not at least giving them the option of looking, because they have a great used car lot, too, and some great prices, you don't have to always buy Ford from Brighton Ford. I bought my Jeep from Brighton Ford and got a great deal on it and been very happy with it. So they've got coupons in the current. God, I never do that. I yell at people,
the
right?
Current. Are you French?
It's actually Old English. Current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, online.com. You can see the ads in there. They've got $35 off four-wheel drive maintenance package, which is important. Four-wheel alignment for $69. $5 off oil changes, 10% off parts, you name it. They got a pothole special for alignment stuff. Get to Brighton Ford, 800-494-2175. That's 800-494-2175, or go to brightonford.com.
Okay. Avail yourself. It's like we're giving you money here. You know, yes. You get coupons. Use them.
Use them up because they're necessary. All right, well, we've got 7th District, Michigan U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg on the line because it's the first of the month. It's 2018. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Today we're coming from a bright location in the middle of Little Hoxie Lake off of Walter Hay State Park. I'm looking down two holes here in my ice shanty, and I thought it'd be a great way to do two good things, ice fish and talk to Gary Welling.
Oh, great. So you're ice fishing right now.
I am ice fishing right now, and it's a beautiful day out here. It's not windy. It's sunshine, and but I'm in a coop, my little pop-up coop here, and just as happy as can be.
At least you don't need a good cell connection to fish.
That's right. Well, let me ask you this, Tim. So is it true that the best time to eat bluegill is in wintertime, right, through the ice, because the flesh is too soft for summertime? Somebody told me that. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, I tell you, a good time to eat bluegill anytime, but any fish through the ice that's good in the summertime is better. Through the ice, because it's firmer. You can clean fish almost literally and not have to do anything except wash your hands afterwards, and you don't even smell the fish, as opposed to what it's like in the summertime. So no, it is the best eaten fish in the world, the fish caught through the ice.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Tim, let me congratulate you and the rest of the Republican Party and President Trump for getting the tax law passed. Finally, a win, right? A big win. I mean, we get a ton of wins. I shouldn't fall into that trap. But this was a big one. And is it just the first step? Can we look forward to seeing some other things like making it permanent for the taxpayer down the next year or two?
Well, yeah, I mean, the only way that's stood in the way of is if Chuck Schumer says, I'm not going to let you make it permanent, and I'm going to use the crazy rules of the Senate, including filibuster. Fortunately, you can get 60 votes, and you and I both know they only now have 51 votes on the Republican side to 48 Democrats, 49 Democrats. So there's no way that we can make it permanent now, unless the Democrats would allow it.
All right, so let me ask you, Tim, would it be a great idea before the 2018 November election for the House and Senate, Mitch and Paul, to put it up there, simple bill, nothing else to it? We want to make the tax cuts we just did permanent for the working man, because that's what the Democrats are saying. This is not permanent. Put it out there and let them put their money where their mouth is. And when they vote no, you can walk into the 2018 and say, not one Democrat voted to make your tax cuts permanent.
Well, that I'm certain is going to be done, because my good friend Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, Senator Toomey, made that speech on the floor of the Senate during the vote to pass the tax bill, when he pointed out that the Democrats during the vote around had put up an amendment that they knew could not pass because of the rules, but they put it up, that which would have made the individual tax cuts permanent. And so he said to them, listen, we're going to put this bill up for you subsequent to this passage, and I expect every one of you who voted for this amendment that you knew could not pass because of the rules of the Senate, I expect you to vote for it when we put it up. So we'll see what happens. Pat Toomey is already planning on that. We're looking forward to it. We're working now in a way that says on some of those things, we're going to let the Senate do it first, as opposed to the House doing it, which we've done numerous times, and send it over. Right now, there's 378 bills of the 477 that have passed the House already and it's still sitting in the Senate with no action. So you're talking about 100 bills, a little less than 100 bills that the Senate has worked on that we've sent to them, and it's just been a constant holdup. So, no, you're right, Gary. It will take place. But let me allay your concerns. The most important thing is if, indeed, tax cuts like this will grow the economy, which they always have, if that happens, do you think that when it gets down to 2027, or 7 years from now, that even the Democrats won't support making those tax cuts permanent? It's just an ugly fear and smear type approach Democrats are using to try to say that this will ever go out, when in fact you're going to see the corporate tax cuts impact so many people, individuals as well. You're going to see the business tax cuts make an impact on many, many people, and the individual tax cuts likewise. So that's just one of those lies that is put out there by the Democrats, trying to make it appear that we're not thinking of the so-called little guy, when in fact they forget that Republicans have, quote, little guys as family members, as neighbors, as friends. And why would we want to hurt them in the process of making good for all Americans?
Right. Right. So let me ask you, Tim, I'm going to snoop a little bit. So we've got two big things probably coming up on the agenda. One will be immigration, and the other one will be infrastructure. And I'm hoping that between the two of them, or both of them, somehow we get our funding for the border wall. So you've got the DACA, and we talked about this last week on the show, Ed and I.
Yep.
There's going to be a deal.
You were listening, right? You were listening.
There's going to be a deal, right? And we had three callers, and all three of them said, we understand there can be some kind of a DACA deal if we get what we want, which is A, border funding and our wall funding and end of chain migration and end of the lottery system. Do you see a deal coming together?
And no citizenship.
And some type of limited or no citizenship. Again, it's all
unless by service or something.
Yeah. Do you have that coming together? Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the citizenship issue, because that still hasn't been discussed. And anything we've done in the House has said, well, we're open to look at some type of DACA legislation. And we don't call them dreamers, because they're not. They're deferred recipients, alien recipients, and that's how we're going to treat it. But there will be some deal on that. But I think the beauty you're seeing right now is our president is in his negotiating mood, and that mood is leading the Democrats to have to consider, if indeed you want to tell your constituents that you support a DACA legislation, then you're going to have to support something that the Republican majority in both houses and the White House want as well. And if you don't, then it will be you that will shut down any type of DACA reform that can take place. So that's a process that's going on. There's no doubt in my mind the president is very, very committed to this, but he wants the wall. He saw the House pass $1.8 billion for the wall already and send it over in our appropriations package, which was full funding for the wall and the securing of the borders. And so I think he has that as part of negotiating the challenge, saying the House has already done it. They could do it again, Chuck Schumer. The only ones that will stand in the way will be you.
Okay. And then how about infrastructure? Do we see a big infrastructure bill coming at some point this year?
Yeah, I think that will be. And I know the president wants to see it. We have to make sure that we see the economy going strong. And I think February, when people's withholding in their checks are noticed as being less, I think all of a sudden that starts to build that message to the people that we have the resources with the growing economy and more revenue coming in as a result of people controlling their dollars and spending, saving, investing. And as always happens, more revenue then comes to the federal government. Now, how do we use it properly? One of those proper ways of using it would be for our roads, bridges, our pipelines, etc., in doing what we haven't done for many years. But along that line, too, there still is very strong desire in the House, and our leadership has made that very clear, that we want to do welfare reform, entitlement reform as well. Because until you get people in a situation where they are encouraged to work as opposed to encouraged not to work, until you give them incentives that are not perverse incentives to just accept government support, you won't have the necessary workers for an economy that is going to grow by leaps and bounds. And already we know that there aren't enough employees, trained, certified, ready, and capable employees to carry on the jobs that are waiting right now, let alone all the jobs that will increase. So that's going to be a major piece of legislation that we'll be working towards as well.
Okay. And so how about health care? Do you see anything else coming down the pipe this year, taking another look at Obamacare or replacement or some kind of deregulation maybe to give us a little relief on health care?
Yeah, I see replacement coming. And I see it coming more than ever before because, as you know, in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we ended the individual mandate. Now, very quickly, the liberals decried that and said that's going to boost up the cost for patients and providers, and so you're going to have to somehow give some relief for that. Well, we've in most recent weeks heard insurance companies say, no, we think we can handle it without the individual mandate, without huge premium increases, which has given us the opportunity now to look at something like the old Graham Cassidy proposal, do some tweaks to that, which basically turns in block grants the resources and the authority back to the states. Let states like Michigan and our legislature and our governor come up with a better mousetrap for dealing with health care without mandates coming from the federal government to do that. And it's the belief that if you allow 50 states the opportunity to find a better way to care for health care in their states, at least one of those states is going to come up with the best mousetrap available, and others will pattern theirs after that as well, and we'll get ourselves out of a federally mandated health care program and go back to a patient-centered approach.
How about buying insurance across state lines? Are we still going to be able to do that eventually?
Yeah, that would be part of it. I mean, the best thing we can do is keep very minimal handprint of the federal government on how we deal with health care. But that would certainly be something that says we will allow health care to be purchased across state lines. We have legislation in the House already for that. In fact, it's passed committee. That would be something that the governors could deal with amongst themselves. But if we give the authority and the sign-off from the federal government, then there's no reason except for some insurance commissioner that wants to keep control for whatever reason, or some insurance company in a state, nonprofit or otherwise, that says, no, we like to have a client base that is defined by our state borders so we can control what it is. And I think the American people, in the course of this debate, have found out that you can buy more cost-effective insurance across state lines in certain cases than you can in your own state.
Well, Tim, you know, like, for instance, I work for a company that is based in Ohio, and so my insurance is actually here in Michigan, is a plan, an Ohio plan, Anthem of Ohio. How does that work? I mean, how come companies can get away with providing insurance in different states, but individuals can't purchase their insurance out of state?
Well, they have it because they're providing it to their employees. So the actual insurance plan goes to an Ohio company. You're just part of that plan. And that's the only way it can be done. If you were to try to purchase it on your own, you couldn't. Because, again, you are the recipient of the insurance and the premium rate payer. In your case, it is your company that's the rate payer, and that's just a benefit that comes to you because you work for that company. Okay. It ought to be the same across the board.
Yes, that's what we're
exactly
looking for.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah. Hey, there's something else on infrastructure. What kind of infrastructure are you thinking of? You even mentioned pipelines, which I thought were more of a private endeavor. I don't know that the federal government should be building pipelines. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Yeah, there's infrastructure that that municipalities put in place. We've got, for instance, just look back to the Flint. That was pipelines of the city municipality of Flint, paid for by taxpayers.
Oh, okay, like a water pipeline.
Okay, so you're talking about grant, like block grants to local municipalities. That's what I was trying to get at. Would the infrastructure be like national expressway system, or would it be block grants to local governments?
Not all of the above. You know, when you have local governments that are sending federal gas tax revenue than the federal government collected from the state. When the state is dealing with EPA and paying for oversight from EPA, there's a federal involvement there that ought to be in a way that, more importantly, we leave the dollars back in the states, but those dollars that go to the federal government and are used for specific purposes, such as pipeline repair, such as infrastructure improvements, roadways, bridges. My sense is the best thing we can do is get that back to block grants to states and local communities, let them make their own priority decisions, and let the taxpayers in those municipalities and those states decide whether their government officials have done it right or not, as opposed to a federal bureaucrat making a decision on how you ought to spend that money for the best interest of your citizens.
Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
All right. So let me change gears a little bit, Tim. So we've seen the president, and again, people want to complain that he's too outgoing and crude when he's telling North Korea that we've got a bigger button than you do. And now we've literally cut funding to the UN. We're cutting funding to Pakistan. What's the feeling in Congress? Are the Republicans in Congress supportive of these measures? Because for me, I'm like, yes, why are we giving money to Pakistan when they harbored I'm losing my mind.
Osama bin Laden.
Bin Laden, for years they were hiding him. And don't tell me they didn't know. They had to know. And
you know, and you get the impression that that's a bifurcated government. You know, like half of them know what's going on, the other half don't know what's going on. That's weird.
I fully support withholding money, and from Palestine now. Why are we giving money to Palestine?
I hear we're not anymore. I hope
so
not.
What is the feeling down there for the Republicans? Are they supportive of these moves by the president, or are they kind of being whinnies about it and not being supportive of him cutting this funding?
Now, from what I can tell, the majority of us are supportive, and the majority of us have felt these things should have been done for quite some time.
Good.
You know, I've been on legislation to defund the United Nations for years. We didn't have a president that was willing to even talk about that or consider it. We do now. We have a ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, who's willing to stand up and strongly speak. Stop and think about it. This was a president that the people of the United States elected by the constitutional authority given to the people of the United States, and the process, he was elected. Nobody, I don't think, thought that Donald Trump was a normal political candidate. Nobody thought that he would probably be a normal, and I put that in quotes, you can't see that, but normal president. There were a lot of the Democrats, liberals, saying that this country will melt down, our allies will flee from us, our enemies, like Al-Qaeda, and
ISIS,
all of the terrorist entities would be taking over the world, when in fact now ISIS has been defeated and is on the run, has no capital, leadership is at best questionable, and other nations are looking to America again and saying, those tweets we don't understand. I'm just using words I've heard from prime ministers and presidents, parliamentarians. We don't understand those tweets, but it is sure nice to have an administration talking like America used to talk and acting like America used to act, because we feel safer when America is strong and acting like the strongest nation in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Tim, we've got
North Korea now is talking with South Korea, even if it is only for the Olympics. When did that happen in the past Olympics?
Yeah.
I wonder why. I wonder why they're all of a sudden motivated to talk.
It's always easy to deal from a position of strength, and I think, thank God, that Donald Trump has put us back into that position. So, Tim, we've got Jimmy from Manchester's got a question about government shutdown from you. Derek, can you bring that Jimmy in for Tim? Okay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Go ahead, Jimmy. Ask your question to Tim.
Yeah, my question is shouldn't the Democrats be very careful about what they're wishing for in this government shutdown? Because if they get it, wouldn't it be possible for Trump to never rehire the people that get laid off and have it be an out for the Republicans in Congress and him
do some of the things that he wanted to do by making some of these bureaucracies like the BLM, the EPA, and what have you smaller. Wouldn't that be I know it's like getting lemons and making lemonade, but it's just a thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact of the matter is bureaucracy has been significantly depleted already because of the president and administration simply not hiring people and attrition taking place and reestablishing authorities for certain agencies. I read a number of articles last week about how various agency personnel are really concerned that you just don't have enough IRS agents. You don't have enough EAs. And these people aren't being confirmed and they aren't being hired. And, oh, by the way, this administration isn't even asking for some of these people to be confirmed or hired. How in the world could they do that? This is going to deplete our federal government and we won't be able to do what we need to do. Well, a lot of American citizens don't really mind that, and this is what's happening. But a shutdown can be good for certain things, but when you're talking about our military and the problem we've had because of sequestration that's gone on for just too long, we need to have a defense capability that is expanding and really rebuilding what we lost during these last 8 years in our military. So it's a two-edged sword, but the only way we're going to have a shutdown is if Chuck Schumer and the Democrats decide they want to shut government down. They can't blame it on the Republicans anymore and say President Obama is there to sign if you guys just increase the spending and increase the taxes like he wants. In this case, the only ones that will shut it down will be Chuck Schumer. That has to be the message that gets out. It will not be the Republicans. Remember, the Republicans were given the majority in both houses and the White House. The people said, we want that policy move forward. We want reduced government, we want less cost, we want less spending, and we want you to get it done according to the Constitution. Well, the House has done that over and over and over again. The only one standing away is Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate from getting legislation the president is ready and willing to sign that will keep our government and the basic services going on, will fully fund our military, give our military families the raises that they deserve, and carry on with Veterans Administration and the other points of our government that are important. So only thing that will stop it from moving forward will be Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, and people need to understand that.
Okay, great question, Jimmy. I appreciate the call. Let's squeeze in a call from Tom in Detroit before we hit the end of the hour here. Derek, can you bring in Tom? He's got a question about taxes for Tim.
Yeah, I guess I'm on. What about the, there's a national sales tax. The one I refer to is the, called the fair tax. It's a Bill Spillane, idea. They spent $22 million figuring out that, they can make, just as much off of this, national sales tax, rather than the unconstitutional income tax.
Yeah, Tim, any thoughts on the fair tax before we go?
Well, I, for one, I've been a fair tax sponsor for all 9 years I've been in the House, and it just does not get the traction and support.
Yeah.
I think as of right now, we've got 85 co-sponsors, and that's not enough to get it out.
Okay.
So we take what's dealt us.
Yeah, we will. All right. Well, Tim, thanks again, and let's get you on maybe before next month if you get a time to come and talk to us.
Yeah, make a call and we'll try to work that out.
All right, sounds good. Take care. And to everybody, have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.